POS mobile monitoring.
POS, this is KO4NUE. Name is Chad.
Hey, Chad. Name here is Mike. And the call is November 6, Charlie Lima X-ray.
Charlie Lima X-ray. This is Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo.
KO4NUE N6CLX.
What's your name, bud? What's going on today?
The name is Mike. I'm just going home from work. If I can make it through 85 from Spartanburg to Greenville, it sounds like it's backed up.
85's not a highway anymore, it's a parking lot.
It just depends, but of course on a Friday when you want to get home, it's a parking lot.
Yeah, I'm in Liberty today. I got a second location up here on the 12 Mile River, but I'm based out of Campobello. Probably 7-8 miles from Inman. So I'm kind of familiar with what 85 does, especially when you're in a hurry. It never ends that well when you need to get somewhere or when you're tired.
Yeah, we've talked before. That's right. You got that camp down there in Liberty.
Yeah, so me and my wife's coming up for the weekend, and we'll try to rough it a little bit and spend a little time together and just enjoy the pretty weather before it gets so hot and miserable every day.
You were saying that you're solar only down there. You're really roughing it.
It's not that bad. I mean, it's I don't know how to describe it, really. It's just old rundown cabin, and we just kind of fixed it up a little bit on the inside, and I got a TV with free to air antenna outside so I can watch local channels, and I think it's like 5 LED lights in here. It's not big at all. Got a wooden cook stove. It's primitive, but you know, if you want to just come and relax and don't have to worry about hustle and bustle, I mean, this is the perfect place to be.
Yeah, instead of being like the rest of us and on the weekend having a list of things to do with the house and the garden and all blah blah blah, you're sitting there not worrying about it.
Well, I still got all the honeydews and blah blah blahs that need to be done, but I just push them off and do what I can do when I can do it, and that's just the way it is.
Push them off when they're not in your face.
You're right about that. Sometimes you can't get away from it. You just gotta grin and bear it and just do what you can do, I guess. But you know, I turned 50 this year, and this kind of changed my perspective a little bit on things, and my body's not doing what it used to do. So I just have just come to the realization, hey, if it gets done, if it don't, then you know, when it gets to the point where somebody's getting ready to take my birthday away because I didn't get it done, then that's, you know, I'm beat up a little bit. But until that happens, it is what it is.
And, I don't know, I'm trying to pay attention to my hobby work a little bit, and, man, I'm not getting anything done on my hobby either.
You got?
Hey, mainly the radio, of course.
I hear you. Well, this week, on the radio side, I'm a new ham. I hadn't been in this long, and, I set me up a crossband repeater up here at the campsite, because when I get certain parts of the river. My handy talkie just won't reach the repeater. So I set me up a crossband repeater here, and that way my handy talkie doesn't struggle so bad. And I'm pleased with how it's worked. I went out and tested it today in all my trouble spots with the handy, and all that's gone. So I'm satisfied. That was a neat project. I'm glad I did it.
That's a fun little thing. My little projects have been preparing, fixing up old radios, making some home lab equipment, stuff. I got a radio I've been building since I was in high school, and that was too long ago.
What kind of radio is it?
I got the chassis. Everything's ready to rock. I just got to take the time to finish it. It's an HF 80 through 10 meter receiver, and then a complimentary CW transmitter, just a few tubes. Transmitters, it'll work right now, but I'm never ever happy with anything, so I dug into it, made some changes, so I have to finish that up.
I talked with my aunt today, and the old farmhouse is still here, and there's a shortwave radio that they used to listen to when my mom was growing up, and I'm going to talk with her and see if she'll let me have the radio or buy it off of her so I can fix it up, and I think there's a few shortwave channels still out there, I'm not sure. But I'd like to try to fix it up, see what I can do with it.
Okay, it's still going on. It's kind of fun to listen to. Gives you an idea of what's going on with the band.
I strung me out a piece of wire the other day and soldered me a PO-259 on it and just plugged it in the back of the radio just to listen and see what I could get. I mean, it wasn't anything spectacular, but I was able to get a few things. I got something from Cuba, or they were saying Cuba a lot. Let me put it that way. A bunch of religious stations, and one other station that spoke French. I think it was French. Obviously, I don't speak French. I don't know what they were saying, but I could barely get one of the UTC clocks out of Colorado, that kind of thing, and that's really interesting to listen to. So I was, kind of fascinated with that.
Dan 6 CLX Friday. Yeah, I'm always tuning into WWV at 10 meters or 10 megahertz, and it just gives me a real good indication what the bands are doing at 20 and 40.
I was listening to, I think it was the WWV at 10 megahertz, I think. Maybe it was 5 megahertz. I can't remember, but I just got on Google and did a little bit of research on WWV and how that clock works, and I mean that's amazing that I had no idea that they count the electrons falling off of a piece of cesium to determine the time. And the other thing is, never really realized how that time affects our economy and our world. I mean, when you look at a clock, you don't think that much about it. But if you think about it, I mean, anything that's computer controlled relies on time, and I guess that's pretty important.
I would have to agree. The WWV signal's pretty cool. It's got a whole lot of information stuffed in there. got a highly accurate radio frequency, highly accurate tone, audio frequency, time. Gives you information on the solar cycles. A lot of stuff.
My wife came down to the ham shack, and she wanted to listen to it, and she wasn't very impressed. But I don't know what it is, but I'm fascinated with it. Just to hear it, and then think about all of the things that it interacts with, and you know, I know that sounds crazy, but it's just interesting to me, I guess.
Stories to other people.
You don't mind me asking what you do for a living?
I've been working at this job since January. Been in sales my whole career. I'm an engineer, but I've always been in sales. And so my new company that I work for is one of Europe's oldest air conditioning companies, making commercial air conditioning equipment, but only specific types. Everything having to do with heating and cooling. I deal with the fans that we manufacture.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty interesting. I mean, is it kind of the fan, is it the mechanical side, or is it the electrical side, or both, or what?
We make specific fans for moving uniform air. That's what we're known for. So it's for process, anything that needs process air, air that is uniform and either hot or cold.
What does uniform mean? That's got a specific meaning, or is that just another word for volume, or what?
Well, no, a fan puts out a specific volume and pressure, but we'll have, if you measure a fan's air output, the air volume will vary across the fan blades, where our fans, the air volume is equal across the entire width of the fan.
Okay, I didn't realize there was that much to a fan, but I guess if you're manufacturing components for sale, I guess you need to figure out a way to get the most out of it. So, what type of engineer are you? What is it, electrical, mechanical, or what?
My degree is in mining, actually.
Okay. I'm interested to know how from mining to fans to ham radio. That's pretty interesting, man.
I got into ham radio in high school, and I just went to school for mining, but graduated in the year that mining took a dump. There were no jobs, so I just took a sales job, and it's just, man, in 40 years, it's taken me from one industry to the next.
So, my dad worked at the rock quarry in Inman when he retired from her selling these, so he worked there to help him out with some welding and things like that, because he's a retired welder. And he invited me up to the quarry one day to watch them detonate, blow up a portion of the granite so that they could get, you know, start getting the gravel out. And that was pretty impressive, actually. You know, I did two tours in Iraq and have been around some explosions and things like that, but when you put TNT inside rock and detonate it, now that's a little bit different than, you know, having an open air explosion. But it just shook the earth, and I mean, we were I don't know, maybe a quarter mile away from it, and it was just unbelievable.
Classes on how to do that. And believe it or not, these guys, that these blasting engineers, they can, if someone tells them they want the rubble to be this size and moved 20 feet over, put here, they can do that.
There's a science to it. I mean, I guess every man that has a trade, you have to be the best you can be at it to be successful. But I was just amazed, you know. The guy that owned the quarry, every time they do a detonation, they're required by law to film it. So we had no camera set up, and the camera was filming the actual detonation, you know. And we were on the top of the quarry and looking down, and they had a crane down there that they keep in the bottom of the quarry. The tracks are broken on it, but the swing portion of it still worked. And man, I'm gonna tell you that thing would just beat all to pieces. I mean, because they, you know, they'll drag it from one end of the pit to the other when they do an explosion to keep from, you know, totally tearing it up. But I mean, ain't a piece of sheet metal on it that ain't got a hole in it. It's just fascinating to see all that, all the I guess fragmentation that comes off of that granite. But just, you know, unreal.
Kind of a dangerous job. They send that stuff flying everywhere. I lived in Phoenix, had a house there in a new development, and they were blasting for the development next door, and they let a couple rocks get away from them, and one of them went through my roof.
Well, it was interesting, to, you know, say the least. But after everything was detonated, they sent the engineer back down there to, I guess, make sure everything had detonated or whatnot. But after he gave the all clear, we were able to go back down there and take a closer look at it. And, you know, it's just fascinating. And I don't know what they were putting in the holes in the rock. It looked like white beads of something. I'm not sure what it was. But they pack it full of these white beads and had this wire looking thing that went down in the hole. And I just couldn't believe the amount of energy that came out of that.
6 CLX for that ID. Yeah, that's ANFO. Pretty standard blasting agent in mining. It's ammonium nitrate soaked in fuel oil.
Just, you know, pretty interesting stuff. And the pit was pretty deep. I don't know how deep it was. It had to be at least 400 or 500 feet deep. The way I remember it now, don't quote me on that, but and they had a big several chutes of water that was, you know, just coming out of the rock from, I guess, over the years where they had hit water veins or whatnot. And I had a little pontoon out there with a pump on it that kept water pumped out of the quarry. But the pontoons with, you know, they're detonating, and they'd send a rock through the pontoon. That's what Dad was there for. He'd go out there and get the pontoon and weld it up to, you know, so it wouldn't sink. But, it seems like to me, he just, you know, shut everything down and move that stuff out before you blow it up. But I don't guess you can do that in some cases, but, you know, nonetheless, it was fascinating. So what kind of mining did you study, what you were planning on trying to study for?
It was all types. It was open past, open pit, surface mining, whatever you want to call it, underground mining. I had one job offer at time of graduation. That was to go to work in the coal mines in the collieries in South Africa. So that was in the mid-80s when everything was going to heck down there, and I decided not to pursue that job.
Well, evidently you must be moving again, bud, because you're starting to picket fence a little bit. I don't know whether you're in interference or actually moving out of range. But I hope I was able to help you along with the ride a little bit and maybe get a little bit closer to home, break the monotony. But I'm gonna call 73s and go ahead and do a final, bud. I enjoyed the conversation. This is KL4NUE, Chad out of Liberty, and I appreciate the time talking with you. I'm 73 on your final.
Hi, Chad. KL4NUE, N6CLX, and thanks for the ride-along, and I'll talk to you again. I'm going to be clear, N6CLX.